This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And as promised, our next story is going to be about the Bersatu drama that continues to unfold. So most recently then, the Registrar of Societies declared Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's resignation as chairman of Bersatu valid, and that therefore Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin is now acting chairman. However, the former PM is challenging the ROS in a letter via his lawyer, Muhammad Hanif Khatri Abdullah. For one, he states that the Supreme Council rejected his resignation and Tan Sri Muhyiddin continued referring to him as chairman despite the ROS's decision. And in the MOU signed by Perikatan Nasional, the Prime Minister himself only referred to himself as party president. So, and on top of that, the party constitution also fails to specify whether a letter completes the resignation process from a post. So that would appear to be a lot of instances that contradict the ROS's stance. But looking past the technicalities of whether Tun M is still chairman of Bersatu, analysts say that eventually all of this has to end, whether that's with Tun M making up with Tan Sri Muhyiddin, taking control of Bersatu, or leaving. However, the latest events that we've seen happening in Bersatu outside of Tun M's position as chairman have not been promising for him. There was, for example, the cancelled Supreme Council meeting, allegedly meant to expel him and Datuk Sri Mukir Mahathir. And just today, Supreme Council member Wan Saiful Wan Jan said that all MPs who sat with the opposition in Parliament should have their memberships reviewed as their actions could destroy the party. So we're just going to get right into it, I think, because there is a lot to parse through. And Bersatu, despite their size, are currently occupying a huge chunk of political imagination in the country. So if you have any questions or if you'd like to offer an opinion on what's going on with Bersatu, Tun M and Tan Sri Muhyiddin, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line is Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Amir, thank you for joining us. Now, as we said, the Registrar of Societies said that Tun M was no longer chairman because he resigned at the end of February. How do you view the statement? Why can't, for example, the party, through its own leadership, just remove Tun M from his post?
Well, the use of ROS, as we have seen in the past, to settle internal party, especially political party dispute, sends the signal that the dispute is indeed severe. But usually, it is interesting to note when ROS gets involved, the likelihood of legal proceedings from there on increases. So I am expecting that things are just going to get messier from now on, that ROS has now entered the fray. And of course, being a political party, all decisions are very politically motivated, and therefore removing Dr. M directly from within would not sit well with the rank and file. And therefore, this is, I think, why the likely reason why the ROS route was taken.
So how successful do you see Tun M being in his bid to take over Bersatu?
It will be an uphill battle for Tun Dr. Mahathir from now onwards, given that the Bersatu rank and file, from what I understand, and the ground as well, are warming up to the idea of Bersatu being in the Perikatan National Government. More importantly, we must note also that to an extent, the COVID-19 pandemic and the movement control order that ensued broke the momentum for Tun Dr. Mahathir politically, for him and his supporters, who had earlier planned to do nationwide roadshows to garner support as for what was mentioned or outlined in early March. So it will be an uphill battle now, especially given that Datuk Sri Mukris Mahathir, the Deputy President of Bersatu, is now no longer the Menteri Besar or the Chief Minister of Kedah, which was once a stronghold of the Mahathirs.
Right, but considering that this is a party that was founded by Tun M, does that hold any sway?
Of course there is, there will always be sentimental attachment to Tun Dr. M, given that he was one of the founders of the Bersatu Party and that statesman. But then again, I feel that at the end of the day, politics is politics. But in politics, party discipline, or in any organization, discipline is important. If Dr. Mahathir is found to have breached party rules and regulations, therefore appropriate action, disciplinary action or action, must be taken regardless office status as one of the founding members or the chairman, we can draw parallels with the case of Dato' Wan Jaafar, who founded UMNO, yet later he quit UMNO and founded another party. When his this happened when Wan Jaafar's own ideals were no longer in sync with that of UMNO. So it can happen.
So there are two clear factions within the party, one on the side of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, the other on the side of Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. What are some advantages and disadvantages on both those ends?
Okay, the advantage for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin now that he is the sitting prime minister and the president of Bersatu, he can use the power of incumbency, as we all are well aware in Malaysian political history. This can be used to one's advantage to garner support for Tan Sri. The alliance with UMNO and PAS, although it may be sneered by certain segments of society, does enable Bersatu warlords to go to the ground better and address their constituents directly. This will strengthen the grip TSMY has on the party, because now that the machinery can perform better on the ground. On the other hand, for Dr. Mahathir, Tun is a larger-than-life character. We all know that. And now, since he is no longer in government, he has the advantage of time to be meeting people and to be talking to people. He can also speak his views freely and push and shape the narrative. However, given the explosive audio leaks from Bersatu meetings recently, one will have to take things, I believe, with a big pinch of salt, given all the leaks that are coming out.
So what kind of deals or discussions can we expect to be going on behind the scenes right now as we're watching this conflict develop?
So in terms of deals, I think both sides will try their best to poach supporters from one another. And Tan Sri Muhyiddin, being incumbent prime minister and president of the party, I'm sure there are a lot more positions that he can offer to Bersatu members in leadership in exchange for support. This may be one of the strategies. But on the other side, with Tun Dr. Mahathir, as I've alluded to earlier, having more time, he will have the space and the time to meet with more people and try to convince them to come over and support his cause. A lot of people have been wondering whether reconciliation is still on the cards. At this stage, I think the Rubicon has been crossed. Reconciliation, although not impossible, is something that is very elusive still.
So if Tun M and his faction are expelled from the party, then what alternatives would they have?
If they're expelled from the party, of course, the alternatives include one joining an existing party, the existing opposition parties, either PKR, Amanah, the Islamist-based party, or DAP. Of course, they can also remain as independent, but as we all know, in Malaysia, it's easier to move on the ground in terms of politics and mechanizations and machinery through political parties. And therefore, I think the option that there will be a lot of offers offered to Dr. Mahathir and his supporters should he be sacked from the party.
And separately to that, what do you think the Bersatu grassroots want to see right now?
I think the Bersatu grassroots, from what I have gathered, want to see a stable government. They do not want to see their leaders fighting. In fighting internally within any political party is a traumatic experience. Most of them went through the trauma of the sacking of Tan Sri Muhyiddin from UMNO, which led to the formation of Bersatu. And many of these grassroots members do not want to see their party split. They want the party to be strengthened. They want the party to be able to survive in the next general elections. That is what Bersatu rank and file, from what I gather, want to see.
So while we're on the topic of grassroots then, what do they think of Azmin Ali and his group? Is Azmin in their line of sight?
Well, as we know, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali's faction is a new faction within Bersatu, and there are talks that he may be starting his own new party. And therefore, from what I understand, the focus is still on more of the earlier members of Bersatu, the generation that founded Bersatu, and those who have party hop from UMNO.
So we've run through a lot of the key players. Let's talk a little bit about Mukris Mahathir. What kind of influence and sway does he hold both in the party and in the grassroots?
Datuk Sri Mukris Mahathir, as one of the founders of Satu Party, wields strong influence among rank and file members. But it must also be stressed that his strength is more in the northern states, the home state of Dr. Mahathir and his family, Kedah, where he served as MB twice, although he did not complete his term. But this is the northern part of Malaysia is where his strength lies. And of course, those who know Dr. Sri Mukris Mahathir know that he is approachable. He is someone that has got his own charisma and personal touch. So there are genuine supporters of Dr. Sri Mukris Mahathir. He is still someone who is youngish in Malaysian context. And therefore, there's still a long runway for him in terms of politics, not just within Bersatu, but into the future. We don't know what will happen next.
And in closing, Amir, when nominations for the Bersatu polls closed, Tun M was the sole unopposed candidate for chairman. Now that he may actually have to try and regain his position via elections, are there other candidates that could potentially challenge him? What can we expect during the upcoming party elections?
Given the uncertainty over the status now, as we all know that you need to be confirmed, despite that post being uncontested, you need to confirm it in the party poll itself in June, whether or not there's someone else. So you see the organizational structure of Bersatu. You have the chairman and you have the president. This is reflective of how Bersatu was founded to accommodate the two personalities, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. If Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is no longer chairman, the question whether someone else should replace him, I don't think should not arise, because the chairmanship position can also be held by the president. This is in my opinion. You need someone with a certain stature to be the chairman of the party and not just anyone.
Amir, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group, talking to us about what's been happening in Bersatu in the ongoing fight for power that has seen it go to the Registrar of Societies and back, and, you know, lawyers. I don't know. It's a lot happening and there are a lot of names involved. So just, we've been asking you what you think, what you make of it. And we do have a message that's come from Jay, who says, it's high time for the enactment of the anti-party hopping law, period. And I think, you know, from your lips to God's ear, that's something that a lot of people have been saying now. And we've covered it pretty extensively on the show as well as to why that might be difficult. But I agree. I think that that would help to at least close some of the gaps that exist within our political system. And just to close this off, we do also have this from Linia on the subject of wet markets, because that's what we've been talking about. They've been in the news and, you know, not for great reasons lately. So we thought it would be good to highlight their importance in the community. And Linia says, love my small morning wet market. It rocks. The only place in Malaysia I can shop without taking away a single plastic bag. I buy eggs in my own egg cartons. I buy meat using my own containers. And you buy vegetables. I buy vegetables in newspapers. And, you know, it just is, you're absolutely right. I think if you are looking to try to achieve some sort of zero wasteness in your shopping and in your home, you could very well get a great start with a wet market or a market, because Jenny from Taman Tun Market earlier said she did not really like the term wet market, so I'm trying to kind of steer away from it, but still. Anyway, we are going to be headed to a song, after which we'll be back for Popcorn Culture, and tonight we're talking about kids' entertainment. So stay here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.